One of my favorite TV commercials is the one where it begins showing a trailer being backed onto some property. And a woman gets out, and she goes and she bangs on the side of the trailer a number of times, much louder than that. These are good pews. They're made well. But she's banging on it. Finally, after the banging, this very tiny little horse runs out the back door. This little miniature horse runs out and stands looking out at the pasture. And across the pasture, he sees some other horses, some full-grown horses. And he starts going toward them. And a couple of them approach him. And they kind of sniff around and look around. And then all of a sudden, the standard horses turn their backs and run away. They don't want to have anything to do with this little horse. He was too different. He looked different. He was proportioned differently. He smelled differently. He was just too different for them to be around. And so they ran off to isolate him. And I think that's one of the things that we tend to do to people that are different. We tend to want to push them off at a distance. We tend to want to isolate ourselves from them. And I think we see that happening in today's gospel. Jesus is invited to this really good banquet at the home of one of the leaders, a man named Simon. He's one of the Pharisees, part of the dominant group of Jews at the time. He was probably an establishment person of some kind and had a house big enough to have a decent banquet. And he had invited Jesus and his good friends. Jesus was probably kind of a drawing card to get more friends to even come to the banquet. But they're in there eating and having a good time. And all of a sudden, there is a door crasher. There's someone sneaking in, but not sneaking really, just kind of barging in and barging up to the table where everybody's eating, and she stands at the feet of Jesus. Now, they leaned around tables back then. There were low tables, and they leaned on one elbow and ate with the other arm, so the feet would be out behind them. And she's standing back there at Jesus' feet, and she takes this alabaster jar of ointment, and she anoints Jesus with it. And then she's crying so much, she's full of tears of joy, and she starts drying his feet with her tears. Well, this, the giver of the banquet, Simon, just had enough. He had had enough of this woman, and he stops her and he says, "Jesus, if you'd have known who this woman is, you really wouldn't have been doing this. You wouldn't have allowed her to do this. She's a common prostitute. She's a woman of the streets. She's a night worker here in this area. You're a man of God and you didn't know this about her." Simon is trying to separate himself and the others from this woman. Doesn't want Jesus to think they're in any way connected or related. He's also trying to further alienate her from anybody else there who might not know who she was, trying to alienate her from Jesus. Jesus answers back, "Well, Simon, seems to me when I came in, you didn't even have one of your servants greet me with the wash basin to wash my feet. You didn't have anybody here to anoint my feet with soothing oil. You didn't perform the minimum amount of hospitality that's expected in this part of the world and is part of our heritage from that of our fathers. You didn't see fit to do any of this. How can you climb her case when you've been so negligent?" And she is doing this as a sign of love. Says, "You know, she's obviously been forgiven more sins than you have. And she's grateful." Jesus is holding this woman up as an example of discipleship. Example of one who's going to follow him. Grateful thanksgiving was the note of her day. She was thankful because she had been forgiven. You know, the epistle today from Paul talks about justification by grace through faith. She was forgiven not because of what she did or didn't do. She was forgiven by the grace of God, the free love of God. He forgave her, even though she didn't keep all the law, even though she had led a horrible life. She was forgiven and she knew it. And that's why she was rejoicing with Jesus, giving back all that she could give, her life and her love, in return for his love. It's her way of saying thank you. You know, the only thing we can ever do for God is say thank you. We can't prove ourselves by doing anything, but we can say thank you. And that's what she was doing. Jesus was, in effect, restoring her to the household of faith, saying she's welcome back. She's part of us now. We should all welcome her back. Kind of like the father when the prodigal son returned, gave that party for the boy when he came back. In a way, Jesus was welcoming her back into the family. She didn't need to stand apart or stay apart anymore because he had brought her back and made her one. You know, if we look at the Bible, we see that God uses a lot of people we would never expect him to use. He really does surprise us at who he uses. Just like Jesus was using this woman to proclaim what it was to be part of the kingdom of God, how to be a disciple by sharing God's love and serving Jesus. God used other people in the Old Testament and the New Testament to do the same thing. And as I was thinking about it, I thought about Eli. Remember, Eli was a priest, before they really had the whole orders, things worked out so well. He was kind of like the chief priest or high priest. But he had fallen into disrepute because his boys weren't doing a right job of following him. They weren't being honest. They were cheating people. They were taking sacrifices and doing the wrong things with them. And they were just not living very good lives or reputable lives, especially as priests. And so Eli was greatly shamed around town. They whispered behind his back when he went by, here's this guy, can't even take care of his own kids. And he's been the priest. Now, how many of you all that have children are able to control your adult children? But people weren't willing to cut Eli much slack. And they kind of pushed him aside. They kind of pushed him outside of the group. They put him out on the fringes, out on the periphery, out on the margins. But yet, when it comes time to train the one who would be king, to mentor the young boy who would be crowned, to tutor him in the ways of the Lord, God selected Eli. And Samuel's mother took him to Eli to live with Eli so that Eli could mentor him in the ways of the Lord, could mentor him in the faith, could help steer him in the right direction. You know, God uses even broken people to do his will sometimes. He's capable of doing it. That's what he does. And look, move into the New Testament. Move into the story of Elizabeth. She and her husband were ancient by those standards. They'd never had a child. In an old age, she conceives and becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to John the Baptist, the one who was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. God pulled her back from the borders and said, pulled her back. I'm going to use you in a big way, regardless of what other people might think. The same's true for Mary. Young girl, 15, somewhere in through there. lived up in Nazareth. Now, you talk about there's suburbs, but then there's the boonies. Nazareth was the boonies. The old expression, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, she lived up there. But yet, God's going to use this naive, trusting young woman for the furtherance of His will, the furtherance of His kingdom. Nobody would have thought that. God uses some really strange people sometimes to do His will and to accomplish His purposes. I remember something that happened to me just about this same time last year. Maybe it was this same Sunday last year. It was early in June. And I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I decided to go to the cathedral, the Anglican cathedral in downtown. I was at a hotel downtown, too. But the main reason I decided to go to church there was that they advertised an English service, a bilingual service. Well, my bilingual abilities, I wasn't even good enough for my bilingual abilities. But, beautiful church built in the 1890s. But I had trouble finding it, and I got lost walking around. And I was probably gawking and looking at my map, and they said, "Ah, turista." And so I was targeted by a scheme of people that what they do is, they go through and they squirt you with something and make you think a pigeon has dropped on you. And it's called La Paloma, which I think means pigeon or dove in Spanish. And I'm walking up the street and this little man jumps out from behind a dumpster. He says, "Oh, senor, senor." He wants to help me clean up and he's got a paper towel and he points down at my shoes. I'm like, oh my gosh. The bottom of my pants. It was on the back of my leather jacket. And then he wants me to come behind the dumpster where he can help me more. And I thought, oh, no, this isn't going to work. And I looked up and I saw the church halfway down the street, about a block away. And so I really hurried to get into that church. And I got there, I thought, oh, this is bad. So I took my jacket off and turned it inside out, just carried it in. Thinking maybe I could get through the service. And I was sitting there and I started smelling. I could smell that stuff, and I thought, somebody's going to get sick. This is going to be embarrassing. I thought, I better get up and get out, or at least go get cleaned up. So I go out, and I'd been to that church the week before, so I was trying to get into the parish hall. It was locked. They had a keypad on the parish hall door. Couldn't get in. So I go back in church again. And I thought, no, this isn't going to work. So I go to the usher, and I ask him if there's a way to get into the bathroom. And he looked at me and laughed and said, "Ah, La Paloma." And he said, he motions me like this. So I followed him. And he went into, got some towels out of the kitchen and took me into this little bathroom, an ancient old bathroom, building built in the 1890s. And he gets down on his hands and knees and starts cleaning my shoes and cleaning off the cuffs of my pants. And I thought, this is Jesus. This is Jesus reaching out, cleaning me up. That's being touched by Jesus. And I thought, gee, Maundy Thursday is going to be really special to me next year. But I went back in church. And it's amazing. Big pipe organ, great music. The bishop's assistant was preaching. Good sermon, had communion. But you know what really touched me? Wasn't the stained glass, wasn't the liturgy, wasn't the bread and wine, wasn't the sermon. It was the hands of that man cleaning my shoes. God touched me through that man who would bend over and stoop down and try to clean me up. And did a little researching on that usher after church. Turned out he was a homeless man that they had allowed to stay there at the church. And one of his duties was to hand out the prayer books, Bibles, and music sheets to everybody who came into that service. You know, God touches us through some of the people we would least expect it. At times we would least expect it. And I think that's what those people found out there that day at the dinner party. They were touched. Touched by that woman who barged in and her response to Jesus' love. The next time you see someone that looks a little strange or a little off, ask yourself, that person's a child of God, created in the image of God, even though they're different than I am. But ask yourself, what might God be trying to tell me through that person? What message might God be sending to me through that individual? And open yourself. Be hospitable to that person. Use that Old Testament gift of hospitality, of opening yourself, to see what God might be trying to say through that person. And another thing, when you look at yourself in the mirror, even on your worst days, look into that mirror and look at yourself and say, God made me. How does He want me to touch someone else today? What does He want someone else to see in me? Because God is counting on us to allow Him to use us to touch people. The great Francis of Assisi understood that in that prayer that he wrote, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make us channels of God's grace by allowing His love to flow through us into the others that we touch in this life. And allow God's love coming from them to touch us as well. And we'll all be able to rejoice in the love of the Lord and walk in His light always. Amen.